Welcome to Cross Body of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
This week, the start of a two-part series on Big Sexy Oz. That's what we're going to call him now. He's just Oz.
Big Daddy Cool Diesel.
Also known as Kevin Nash. So we get to dive into a lot of gimmicks, because before he was Diesel, which was truly his first big breakout gimmick, he was a lot of other things.
A whole lot of other things.
And then now he's, of course, known best as just his actual name, Kevin Nash. For those of you who never listened before, welcome to the podcast. We cover a wrestler through five of the most important matches. Some people get three-parters where they get 15 matches. Some people get two-parters where they get 10 matches. And Kevin Nash gets 10 matches.
Yeah. No disrespect to Kevin Nash.
No disrespect. But
their levels.
When we're looking at, you know, the two-parter versus three-parter debate, part of it is work rate. And yeah. I love Big Kev because cool dude, cool son of a gun.
Yeah. I would love to hang out with him.
His WCW run, the work rate, not there.
I think we've covered like three or four of them now while doing this podcast, and I don't think any of them have been good.
There's the one good one, Outsiders versus Harlem Heat. We covered in the Harlem Heat episode, and it was a good time.
I mean, was it a good time or was it a good match?
Good time. Kevin Nash, always about the good time. So before we dive in, you should be following us on Instagram, on Twitter, at Crossbody of Work. Go to Instagram for all of our fun reels that we post. Go to Twitter for all the pod updates. Go to YouTube. Follow us there. Hit subscribe at Crossbody of Work. If you're already watching on YouTube, hi. It's good to see you. We have lots of extra content on YouTube. That's if you want extra content, that's where you go. We have old throwback episodes we've thrown on there. We have Take a Card, Make a Card, one of my favorite series. We have Wrestle Revisited, where we add some more matches to some different people. We have our one match breakdown, usually really long ass matches. We dive into those. Go check all of it out at Crossbody Work on YouTube.
Yes.
What do you know about Kevin Nash?
I know he's big, sexy.
These are both true facts.
He's a cool daddy.
He is a cool daddy.
What do I know about Kevin Nash, the person? I'm assuming he was a bouncer that became a wrestler.
That's very good. Yeah, you were going to get there. All right. So, born July 9th, 1959 in Detroit, Michigan, which explains that's my first one of those on the podcast. Won't be the last, I'm sure. Attended the University of Tennessee.
Oh,
yeah. He's a volunteer, majored in psychology and minored in educational philosophy.
Did he play basketball?
At the University of Tennessee, Nash was a center for the Tennessee Volunteers basketball team from 1977 to 1980, during which the team made it to the NCAA Sweet 16.
Oh,
yeah. Kevin Nash played in the madness.
Now, okay. Did he play?
I'm not going to go look it up. Kevin Nash can tell me he played, and I'll believe him because he's cool.
Or was he like, you know, was he the Luke Cornette of the Volunteers, where he just basically plays like 5 minutes a game?
Luke Cornette is closer to Michael Jordan than he is to me, like than I am to Luke Cornette. All right, so shout out to Luke Cornette for that.
Sure, man.
Nash went to Europe and played professionally for various teams. His career actually ended in 1981 because he tore his ACL.
So what did it last, like a year?
A little over a year. And then he enlisted in the army, was assigned to the 202nd Military Police Company in Gießen, West Germany, served in a secure NATO facility for 2 years, which he'd be a very intimidating soldier. He's a big guy.
Big boy.
Went and worked in the assembly line at Ford Motors Company, which I think is like you have to do it if you're born in Detroit. Like at some point you get like a call or like a letter in the mail. It's like, you got to come work for Ford. And they go, all right.
Him and Eminem. Chilling there.
And then was a floor manager at a strip club in Atlanta, Georgia. So not a bouncer, but a floor manager.
Damn. Close. He had more of a title.
Decided to try professional wrestling and debuted in WCW in 1990 as the Orange Mohawk Steel, one half of the tag team known as the Master Blasters.
I'm sorry?
The Master Blasters. It was Master Blaster Steel teaming with Master Blaster Iron. The 90s were fantastic for gimmick.
Who was Iron? Is that like a wrestler that has a Wikipedia page?
They do not.
Okay. Sad.
But Master Blaster Iron was replaced by Blade. And Blade was also known as Rage and the Dog.
Oh my God. That sound like random offshoot cartoon characters in The Simpsons.
These sound like character names you can pick on like a BMX game. You can be Rage.
You got the Slim Jim guy. In the Dave Mirra game, you've got Rage, the dog, Slim Jim man.
Eddie from Iron Maiden? Wait, that's Tony Hawk. Nash then reappeared after they got rid of the Master Blasters. He reappeared on a new gimmick, having been repackaged as Oz, a character based on the Wizard of Oz from the 1900 children's book. He was managed by the Great Wizard and was pushed strongly for about a month. They pushed Oz. He then lost to Ron Simmons at the Great American Bash. And the reason that like plans got scrapped for Oz is apparently Nash refused to sign a $300 night guarantee as WCW was cutting costs. So they just didn't know what to do with the gimmick anymore. But we're going to look at an Oz match. It's Oz and the Diamond Stud. Who's the Diamond Stud for the people, Javier?
Chico.
It's Scott Hall. It's very cool. So we have Kevin Nash and Scott Hall in WCW on September 21st, 1991, facing off against Tom Zank and Big Josh on WCW TV. This is the weirdest thing because it's Nash and Hall in like their worst forms.
I mean, Scott Hall just looks the exact same.
He looks the exact same.
Like, that's just Razor Ramon.
The Oz thing, though, is unbelievable because Kevin Nash, legit big man, legit sexy man. Like, look, he's 6'10", 328, good-looking guy, and you put him in an old man mask and a green cape? What are you doing?
Here's the thing. You want to know something funny? I legitimately have no idea what Oz looks like, because the only Oz I can think of is like when freaking James Franco played Oz.
There you go.
And like, I've got nothing else for you.
I don't think he looked like that.
I don't even remember the original, like, whatever. What is it called?
The Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz. I haven't seen that movie probably since I was like 5 years old.
Did you know that the suit that the lion wears is made of an actual lion skin?
I mean, at least they're trying.
I learned that from TikTok like 2 days ago.
Why does TikTok know this?
I don't know. Who is this lumberjack in the ring named Big Joshua?
I don't know, but I like it.
I'm in.
I'm telling you right now, there's nothing worse than seeing Big Josh thinking it's going to be the guy who looks like fucking... what the hell is that?
You're thinking of Josh from Tough Enough,
Joseph,
aren't you?
No, the Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie where he's like dating Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, The Dawn or whatever.
Yeah, where he's like The Dawn, where he's like, you know, I go to the gym, I go sweat, blah, blah, blah. But like, you think it's a sleazeball. I'm like, that's Big Josh, right? No, that's Tom Zenk.
Yeah, and then the lumberjack is Big Josh. What do you think of Oz's work in this match?
I'm going to be honest with you. I've never seen someone be that tall. Presented as like an imposing figure and look so fucking goofy.
The presentation does not help him.
Like, he's just wearing neon green pants.
Mm-hmm.
How am I supposed to take a man that tall serious when he's wearing neon green pants?
You're not. That's the longest. Like, you're not supposed to.
I'm supposed to believe this guy's going to be a main eventer?
They definitely weren't going to put him to the main event, that's for sure.
Diamond Stud looked like a goddamn main eventer, let me tell you something.
Diamond Stud looked really good. In terms of Oz, he does some things, you know, Oz, he, like, he chokes Josh down a little bit, he gets some right hands in the corner. Oz does a test of strength with the Z-Man, Tom Zank, and Oz obviously wins, because Tom Zank is a big guy, but Kevin Nash is Kevin Nash.
He starts losing, so he just kicks the guy, knees the guy in the gut.
That's the way to do it.
And oh my god, man, the absolute best was Big Josh's rapid stomps,
the log roll. That's what they called it, the log roll. I was gonna talk about that too. He is, because we've all seen random logging competitions on ESPN the Ocho, where you have to stay on the log as it's in the water, and you just kind of like, you essentially have to run forward a little bit as you go, and he does that as like little stomps on Oz, and it's called the log roll, and it's a really funny move.
Have you ever been to a water park that had like a safe version of a log roll?
Yes, 100%.
So there used to be one at Six Flags, the one that's in New England. Mm-hmm. And like I did it, and I like the even the freaking lifeguard was impressed with how long I stayed on there. And as like a 7-8 year old, that might honestly have been the highlight of my ego.
That was your like athletic peak, right?
That
there.
Was all right. Well, I dunked the basketball at one point in my life. So
all right, that impressive. You. Whenever I think of water parks, I only think of the one time that seagulls kept trying to steal our French fries. So my friend was trying to get them to shoo away, and he threw a ketchup packet and just demolished a seagull in the face with a ketchup packet, and we couldn't tell.
Did it continue bothering you?
No, but it flew away all like kind of wonky. We were like, did we like permanently
just give
damage?
A seagull CTE?
I guess. Oz knocks Zenk off the top rope, but the ref's distracted. We get a backbreaker by Oz and a scoop slam, standing elbow drop for two. That's like the biggest set of offense that he does, and it looks good. He's clearly
just big man offense. It's just
yeah, he's clearly got like some chops already in the ring.
Yeah, big clothesline by Stud. Oz and Stud double teamed Josh, and then they finally the baby faces are getting like a little bit of a run going. They got some advantage going. Josh is about to pin Oz when Stud comes back in and hits him with like a 2x4 of some or a
oh,
stick
no.
of some kind.
It's a literal axe handle, because that's what Big Josh had as a lumberjack, because he had the handle of the axe. So he hit him with an axe handle. And do you know how long it took me? Because before this, Josh is getting a little bit of like shine, and he's hitting axe handles to everyone. And I was like, wow, this lumberjack loves axe handles. And then I said it out loud, and I went, oh, I get it now. Yeah, they force the DQ, and the baby faces win. Oz loses. What a time. We got to move on. We got to get off of Big Josh. We got to get off Big Josh's...
I don't know if I want to get off of Big Josh.
Let's talk
great.
About the next gimmick that Kevin Nash had, which honestly, I'm going to stand on it. I love it.
No.
I love it.
No.
We're talking Vinny Vegas. No. All right. Our promo this week is a Vinny Vegas interview. And Kevin Nash has been repackaged on the January 21st, 1992, at Clash of the Champions. I believe that's 18. He was a pseudo mobster based on a character from a movie called My Blue Heaven, played by Steve Martin. That's where the character came from.
What the fuck?
I know. The guy from Only Murders in the Building was the inspiration for Vinny Vegas. Okay.
First off, the fact that Only Murders in the Building is where you get Steve Martin from.
I'm trying to relate to the young people who listen to this.
Hey, Cheaper by the Dozen was right there.
The Jerk is the real answer. He became part of the, quote, half ton of Holy Hell stable run by Harley Race, which included people like Lex Luger, Big Van Vader, Vinny Vegas, and Mr. Hughes.
And this sounds like your type of group.
It's not. I mean, Lex Luger's bad, but the rest of it's not bad. This is the interview, and it's Harley Race and Vinny Vegas being interviewed by Tony Schiavone.
I have never seen a manager and a talent have less vibes going between them than Harley Race and Vinny Vegas during this promo.
Oh, that's a great question. Is there a worse manager?
Oh, Ric Flair and Lacey Evans.
That was the first
one that came to mind.
Oksana and Goldust came to mind.
Well, Goldust can make anything work.
That's true.
I can't even go there.
Yeah, they are definitely on different wavelengths.
Like Summer Rae was with Rusev. Like that didn't really work.
Lana and Dolph Ziggler. That was weird.
No, that could work. Because it's not even like she was managing him. It was more so like a storyline. Like,
there's nothing WWE loved more and Vince loved more than cucking Rusev.
Lana with Bobby Lashley.
Lana with everybody aside from her husband.
Bobby Lashley.
So Schiavone's here to interview them. Race is talking about how Lex Luger is the best conditioned athlete and he's only getting better because they're going to go to Super Brawl and he has a match against Sting for the world title. Then Vinny starts talking. What do you think of the Vinny Vegas
I don't even know how to describe. He's like fucking Pauly Fingers from The Sopranos. It's like I don't even know. Like, you said his inspiration was Steve Martin. I'm over here thinking it's Joe Pesci from Goodfellas. Like, this is...
He's a tall Joe Pesci.
He's just here, like... I can't even repeat the accent. It's terrible. It's like a high-pitched, just sleazy Italian,
so
like, American.
That's the one part of this that I don't like. I think, honestly, I think a mobster character similar to like Tony D'Angelo in NXT, I think is actually
make it work.
I think it's actually a great gimmick.
He makes it work.
I think it's the only problem is that Kevin Nash could not keep up this voice because it was a bad voice.
I don't know what he says, honestly. Like, he says something about gambling or like a gambling. I don't know. I was so like not even enthralled. Enthralled is not the word. I was like in a fucking catatonic state just while listening to this promo.
Shivani asks him a question and he ignores it entirely. And Shivani! With a name like Shivani, you gotta be a paisan.
Why does he sound like Billy Crystal? Like, what the fuck is this, man?
When Vinny met Sally. and then he's talking about how every guy's got a fight. Some guy's got a fight. Some guy's got a club. They play cards. They do some gambling. And then
they called a hit on Big Josh. They told me you gotta make an example out of Big Josh, you see?
I do love that we have some continuity from the last match where apparently his job was to whack a lumberjack. What possible reason do you have for getting rid of the guy who mastered the log roll?
He wasn't paying. You know, in order to have his business, his lumberjacking business, he's gotta pay the family.
You gotta cut down the trees. You gotta cut us in. Exactly. No, apparently he just needed to make an example of Josh to his bosses. Nothing personal. And like, that's the thing,
business.
His stuff like this does lend well to a wrestling gimmick. Like,
Tony D'Angelo does a great job.
Yeah, it reminds me in a way of how the APA could play any role, because it's just like, you pay us and we do it. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, that can be built into a gimmick like this. And I think that Kevin Nash has an inherent charisma about him, as we will see, obviously, through the rest of his career.
It's just the accent, man.
It's just the accent.
It did not work for me.
Apparently, he's going to have a match with Ron Simmons, the All-American. Don't think I won't deal from the bottom of the deck against you.
It's like, what the fuck, man?
There's one thing that sold me on this, too. Is the
end. Isn't that he just kept going like this, like he's fucking John Travolta?
He was playing with his hair a lot. No, it was at the end. He just looks at the camera, does the little thing to push his glasses down, does the eyebrow raise, and puts him back up. And I was like, that dude knows what's up. He knows something.
That's
I don't know.
A charismatic man.
He is a charismatic man.
I think it had potential. My issue was I do not think that Kevin Nash was the person that should have done it.
He had everything but the voice. That's literally, I will continue on this track. The only thing missing was the voice.
Maybe if Scott Hall had that, like, I could see Scott Hall maybe.
Well, because we also saw Scott Hall do Razor Ramon, which wasn't the same, but like,
it was a Cuban accent.
It was a Cuban accent. Like, Scott Hall could do that.
Hey, Chico.
Chico. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to get to Chico in just a minute, right after the break. So we're back from the break. Nash spent the first half of 93 team with a guy named Big Sky. In June, he decided to depart for the WWF. June 93, he signed the contract at the request of Shawn Michaels, who wanted to bring him in. He was given the stage name of Big Daddy Cool Diesel, with what Wikipedia describes as an alpha male gimmick. Truly a Sigma male.
No, Sigma's the... Isn't that the lower of the bottom of the total
no,
pole guy?
I have no
that
idea.
That was Beta, man.
No, Beta's the bad one. I have no idea because I don't pay attention to that absolutely toxic discourse that is absolute dog shit.
I just know it based off of the memes.
The memes. He grew long hair. He dyed it black, and, you know, he was a cocky thug from Detroit. He had the sunglasses. He wore a lot of leather. He had the in his entrance. The name Diesel was suggested by Shane McMahon.
Ooh.
Yeah, look at Shane go. Truly the best in the world.
I think it's a great name, by the way.
I do think it's a great name. I genuinely think it's a great name. He started out, of course, as the bodyguard and friend of Shawn Michaels, the two dudes being known as the two dudes with attitudes.
Great
radical
name. Excellent, especially for that time period. Excellent.
He actually had his first debut at a house show, which I find interesting. June 6, 93, he assisted Michaels in defeating Marty Jannetty for the IC title and then appeared the next night on Raw as his bodyguard. Diesel would actually win the IC title from Razor Ramon, aka Scott Hall Diamond Stud, following interference from Michaels on the April 30th, 1994 episode of Superstars. The duo of Diesel and Michaels then defeated the Head Shrinkers to become double champions, which is very interesting. So as we go into this match, SummerSlam 1994, defending the IC title against Razor Ramon, both Nash and Michaels are double champions. They hold the gold.
Sean has the world title?
I believe Sean has the world title too.
Oh, good for Sean.
Yeah. Oh, no. Maybe Nash was just double. No, Nash was just double champion.
Yeah, because I don't think Sean had.
No. Michaels doesn't have it yet. No. But hey.
It's the boyhood dream.
Nash has two belts. Last time we saw him, he was a fucking mobster with a voice that didn't work. Now he has two title belts. It's pretty good. Hey. What'd you think of the Razor Ramon match?
I thought it was solid. You could see where these guys have some sort of chemistry with each other because, yeah. I mean, they're good friends. Like, yeah. they probably know how each other work and all this other stuff. I just think where the disconnect is that, look, this is obviously no shot at Kevin Nash or Scott Hall. They're both very talented, you know, all-time talents in professional wrestling. But both of them are like dance partners. They're not leaders.
Okay.
Like the lead dancers. And I think that when you have two guys who are like that, it's kind of hard to have one of those like stand out, like, oh my God, that match fucked type of thing. You know, like this isn't a bad match. It's a good match. It's just, that's just what it is. It's just a good match.
It's almost like its ceiling is kind of limited. Like, yeah, it went well above its floor.
It's a six man ceiling, you know.
Yeah,
maybe a solid seventh man.
Yeah, fourth. Like as Bill Simmons would say, like, is that the fourth guy on a championship team?
It's a Joe. It's a solid Joe Ingles,
dude.
I love a good Joe Ingles.
I love Jingling Joe. All right, so the cool thing that Razor Ramon has is he has accompaniment too, and it's Sweetness. It's Walter Payton.
Oh my God, that was Walter Payton.
That's Walter Payton.
I wasn't like paying attention to his face. I was like, who the fuck is that guy?
Walter Payton, who for me falls on, I would say Walter Payton is fourth on running backs that I want to watch highlight tapes of.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, like my opinions on running backs is so, like, it would piss everyone off.
Okay, like, if you're like, just based on tape, who's your favorite running back?
Well, my number one running back ever will always be LaDainian Tomlinson because he was like my guy.
He's my number two.
It was Moss and LT. Those are my two good guys growing up. And then it's like fucking Peterson. Like, I love Adrian Peterson. He was my favorite player. He's the reason I'm a Vikings fan.
Peterson Peterson would probably be above Walter Payton for me in terms of highlights for me.
Barry Sanders is cool. Like
Payton 5.
I like Priest Holmes. I remember when Priest Holmes was good.
Payton 5. Peterson 4. Earl Campbell 3. That dude was awesome. Tomlinson 2, Barry Sanders 1. Barry Sanders is the greatest
fucking
running back of all time.
You know who is an underrated highlight reel that I fucking loved growing up as well? Johnson.
Oh, I was going to guess. I was going to say Arian Foster, but he's a little old. He would have been older by then. All right. Yeah. This match.
Larry Johnson.
Good
maybe
shit.
A good little Steven Jackson.
Ooh. Ooh, Steven Jackson. Marshall Faulk, shout out. What was your favorite part of this match?
I just kind of liked Sean. Like, Sean might have been my favorite part of this match. He was fucking great.
Sean is very extra. I think it's great because Walter Payton has on like the immaculate Razor Ramon shirt, like the really cool
chalk line
print style shirt. And somehow he's not the coolest looking guy because Sean's in his like zebra print outfit.
I want Sean's outfit in this with the hat and everything. I want that on my character in GTA 6.
Yes, that you probably can do it. Early on, Razor with some work. You know, he's got the clotheslines, back elbow in the corner, and then Diesel gets control. He does a big choking boot in the corner while Sean pulls Razor's hair from ringside. There's a lot of that, like, quick cheating, little bit of assistance from Sean. We get a sleeper locked in by Diesel early.
Yeah.
I was like, rest spot. We're ready.
Which is like... like, come on. You guys look like you're in the best condition ever. How are you both needing rest? Diesel. So Sean removes the turnbuckle at one point here.
Yeah.
Then Hebner, like, gets in the way.
So
preventing Diesel from doing essentially an Irish whip to
so
the.
So Hebner checks on Razor while Sean provokes Walter Payton. And then Earl Hebner then stops Walter and then, like, Peyton points out the missing turnbuckle, and so Earl Hebner like stands in the way. He's like, "You shall not pass. You shall not do an Irish whip into the corner." He then goes to yell at Shawn Michaels for taking the turnbuckle pad off, and Diesel just tosses Razor Ramon into the turnbuckle anyways.
Yeah, it's like, and then by the way, Razor Ramon clearly landed. It was like just beneath his neck. It was where he would have hit the turnbuckle. The rest of the match, he's selling his lower back.
All the whole match.
Whole match. Lower back.
But, I will say here. Diesel does do a lot of lower back offense. He does the sidewalk slam. He's do, like,
yeah,
he's
but the big one is
the big thing was definitely like between his shoulder blades.
And so Sean distracts Sean just keeps distracting people. Diesel does like a leaping elbow drop to the back. He's just working the back over.
Yeah.
Does a big boot for a near fall. He throws on an abdominal stretch where he's like reaching for the top rope every once in a while.
Holding. Yeah, he's doing that little assistance.
And he
thing.
Was smart because Hebner, he knew Hebner was coming around the front side. So whenever Hebner made a movement, whoop.
Yep, little extra leverage. Razor locks one in as well, and Diesel immediately hits a hip top toss to escape. Yep. Diesel gets run into the exposed turnbuckle. We get a knee from Razor, some right hands by the bad guy. Razor slides under a big boot in the corner, goes to the outside, drops Diesel, and then pulls him by the legs to go groin first into the ring post, which was good. Diesel, like, Razor's little, like, hope spot here is really good. Like,
yeah.
I didn't realize that Scott Hall moved that fast. Maybe he just seemed fast because Diesel's obviously a big guy, but he was, like, moving around pretty well.
Well, Scott's a tall dude, but he's not, like, that tall. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like 6'6", 6'7", you know,
but
that
I feel
range.
Like he has, like tall guy energy, you know?
Well, yeah, because he's still a tall motherfucker. You put him in wrestling nowadays, and he towers just, most people.
Yeah, he'd bonk Adam Cole on the top of the head.
Like, it's like how Orton, like, Randy Orton's freaking taller than everyone in wrestling. And
Randy
he's, like, 6'5", 6'6".
Randy Orton's real jacked, baby. He's huge. He's huge.
Looks even bigger now. Anyways, Razor does the... Or not Razor, Diesel does it. Sean distracts Razor, so it pretty much kills the hope spot.
Yeah.
Sean then grabs the tag belt, and he's going to go hand it to Diesel, but Walter Payton stops him. Then Hebner confronts Walter Payton, so Sean's able to slide into the ring. Diesel is holding Razor Ramon, pretty much, and Sean's lining up for a super kick. He goes to hit it. Razor gets out of the way, and so he accidentally hits Diesel, who just dies. Diesel's dead man. That's Dunzo.
Selling his boys' sweet chin music like it is death. Like, really putting Sean over. This match, like, puts Sean over more than anybody else.
He's selling it like Jimmy Uso sold that freaking RKO this past week.
That's true. They're, like, fixing the mat without him. I thought that was so funny.
He gets rolled out.
Yeah.
Razor crawls over. Walter Payton's holding Sean from getting it into the ring. 1, 2, 3. Razor picks up the win.
Diesel is not pleased with Michaels as he gets to the back. Not happy.
Yeah. I wonder what this leads to.
It leads to them having their friendship dissolve at Survivor Series. So it goes all the way to Survivor Series. So we go another couple months.
Hates it.
Michaels accidentally superkicked him again. Diesel then chased Michaels, and despite failing to catch him, the reaction from the crowd turned Diesel babyface. On November 26, 1994, Diesel faced Bob Backlund for the WWF Championship he won from Bret Hart at that same Survivor Series and squashed him in how many seconds? Do you remember?
He hits the jackknife right away and then goes right into the pin. It would have been like 6 seconds?
Eight. An eight-second squash. This would all lead to a match at WrestleMania 11 between old friends. Diesel defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Shawn Michaels in the not main event. Who's the main event?
This is 95, right?
It's WrestleMania 11, yeah.
So that would have been the Bam Bam.
Bam Bam Lawrence Taylor.
LT. Yeah.
What a time. We have a lot of stars out for this match, though.
So fucking many stars.
Starting with somebody from a TV show that I think was so popular when it was at the time, but hasn't had a lot of like syndication since, like, or like streaming.
I wonder why.
Well, we know why. Jonathan Taylor Thomas from Home Improvement is here.
First off, how dare you refer to him as that. He's young Simba.
He is young Simba. That's true.
That's what he is. He's young Simba to me. And
but
he always
if
will
you
be.
See his face, everyone's going to know he's the one of the kids from Home Improvement.
And I just can't wait to be king.
And the ring announcer is Nicholas Torturo from NYPD Blue. Do you know where you...
who that is.
So he is... have you seen The Longest Yard, like the one with Adam Sandler?
Yeah.
You know the guy on the team who was like, I can play quarterback. Let me play quarterback.
Yeah.
That's him.
Yeah. Really?
That's him. Yeah.
He looks so much healthier during this. I don't know how to describe. He looks freaking like shriveled up in the movie. He looks like fucking Nunzio. Like.
Yeah. Brucey. That's the name. He plays Brucey in The Longest
Yard. Who are we going to kill? The gods. Who are we going to kiss? The gods.
So Shawn Michaels is here. He has Sid with him. Downgrade. And Jenny McCarthy. Yikes.
Another downgrade.
Diesel comes out. He's got Pam Anderson with him.
Well, he just turns around and it goes like this.
He waves her back in. And Pam Anderson comes out.
And they were talking about Pam Anderson with Sean, and I'm like, "What? I don't know what's happening here."
She chose Diesel over Sean, also Pam over Jenny all day, every day, especially as people.
I didn't recognize who that was until they said it on commentary that it was Jenny McCarthy, and I was like, yeah.
Jenny McCarthy, not even my favorite McCarthy, because that's Melissa.
I don't know anything about Jenny McCarthy.
If I remember correctly, Jenny McCarthy is like an anti-vaxxer, and like...
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Pam Anderson all the way, baby.
Yeah. And Queen. We respect
Queen.
Pam.
Queen. The world did Pam wrong. She's on the list of like women that society was just like awful to, and it's a long list. It's like her and Britney and Lindsay Lohan and so many others.
Oh my god. The Lindsay Lohan revival for that like holiday movie a few years ago was iconic.
It was real.
I was in. I watched it day one.
What do you think of this match?
I always have like a weird relationship with this match because I can only think of the finish for it and how much it bothers me. And it's the only thing I can think about. Honestly, I think this is one of Diesel's best matches in the Diesel character. It's like Bret Hart is his number one best match.
Is this your recommendation for the week?
No, actually.
Is it the next match?
It is.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
It is. It's not that... I think this is one of his best matches in the Diesel character. It's just that freaking finish, man. I also think Sean is doing a little too much healing in this. Like, he's doing too much heel work.
Sean is weird, though, because of... There's always something appealing about Sean, as long as you're outside of Montreal, that like he always does have to go a little over the top, I think, to maintain heel heat. And so he does do what feels like a lot here.
Yeah, like Diesel with a cheap shot, he calls Pam into the ring, or like this is before the match goes off. He calls Pam Anderson into the ring and sparkler, like the sparkler pyro goes off.
Yeah, he has all his like glittery pyro that goes off.
Sean just goes fast as fuck, boy, and then he pushes a photographer, and I'm like, well, what did that guy ever do to you?
The answer's nothing.
Sean's just being an asshole. He questioned him about
the bar fight in Syracuse. That's what he did.
Not the last time he bullies that photographer, by the way. Mm. Diesel Sid gets on the apron, and Diesel like kind of like fakes like he's going to attack him because he knows Sean's coming from behind. So he like does like a little and then he quickly turns around and decks Sean.
Yeah.
He just kind of bullies him early on. Bully Sean early on, and like you could see the frustration in Sean's face.
So Sean,
which is a problem because
so
that's
Sean
kind
decides
of baby facey
to spit on Diesel. That's his big plan. I will spit on the giant man. And it's weird because it throws him off his game because Diesel charges at him and Sean is able to kind of use his speed and dodge and do things like that. Sean goes for a vertical suplex. Bad idea. Diesel's huge compared to you. Diesel with the easy reversal.
Yep.
Sends Michaels to the outside. Sean slides under Diesel to get through the legs to get some shots in. Sean goes for a sunset flip. Diesel stops it. Two-hand choke on Sean. Just deposits him. crotch first on the ropes.
Which is just kind of bullying, but also deserved it.
Yeah, hits him in the playgirls. It's a good time.
I need Seth Rollins to do that to CM Punk. Diesel, he's on top for a little bit, and then Sean gets the advantage back. He hits a flying crossbody to the outside. And then there's that fucking photographer again with the Washington jacket, like the Washington University jacket.
Yeah.
Just getting fucking abused by Sean.
Sean has an issue with this man.
I don't know what's going on here. This guy's just a photographer. Like,
it doesn't make any sense.
Sean hits a splash off the apron to the outside. Diesel goes into the post. He gets Diesel back into the ring. He hits like a flying middle rope bulldog.
Diesel also, if the ref counted at all, Diesel would have been counted out like three times over when he was crawling into the ring.
Linear referee, or it's up to the referee's discretion, bro.
Yes. Sean up top, big diving elbow drop to the spine of Diesel for a two count. Sean then goes for a long sleeper hold, so we get one of my favorite spots. He's down, and it's time to do the arm raise spot, where one time it goes down, and a second time it goes down, and on the third time, he holds it. And normally, people are really dramatic and, like, shake their arm and are like, I'm pumping up.
Or they're like, hold it up here. Like, Diesel held it down.
Diesel held it at the line. He was at the line and was just, like, chilling.
Yeah, just holding it. Just, I was like, did he actually, like, move? I legitimately was like, did he not? He didn't lift his arm.
Diesel does everything too cool. He's like, I can't be too excited about this. I got to just hold my arm like this. Gotta be two. Yes, exactly.
Diesel does the snake eyes and then does like the flying sit. I need to figure out what that's called. The flying sit. It's basically the Bronco Buster to the back of the head on the middle part of the
rope. Yeah, so they're draped on the middle rope as if they're going to get 619'd. It's a good way to think of it. And instead of obviously doing a 619, because that would blow my mind.
Just a seated centaur.
Diesel does like a leg drop to the back. Like, it's like a big leg to the, like, leg Larry to the back. That's pretty much it.
A little down the line here. And, oh, star of the show has shown up.
Yes, if you're watching star on YouTube, the cat is here. Yes.
She's hungry, guys.
She also loves Diesel matches.
Yes, big Diesel girl. Sean hits a sweet chin music out of nowhere. Unfortunately, the referee, I'm going to only assume it's Earl Hebner. I wasn't paying attention. Yeah, he's nowhere to be found. He, like, fucked up his ankle. I don't know how or when he fucked up his ankle, but Earl Hebner did to Shawn Michaels what Trevor Lawrence did to my fantasy team on Monday and fucked up his ankle when I needed him most.
Again, for those who maybe haven't listened before, Javier hates Earl Hebner.
I fucking hate this man.
With the passion of a thousand burning suns. What happened is Earl went to the outside because Shawn had gone to the outside for a breather. No idea why Earl had to go out there, but when he did, he just rolled his ankle as he was going to the floor.
Is that a shoot?
I don't know. I assume it was not a shoot. I assume it was a work because, like, the way the sweet chin music ended up playing out. But I start howling immediately because I know that what's about to happen, and I know that Sean is going to have a visual win on Diesel, and the reason he doesn't win is because it's Earl Hebner's fault. And I'm like, Javier's going to love this.
Is this a double turn? Did a double turn just happen because Earl Hebner fucked his ankle?
Diesel kicks out on two. Sid removes a turnbuckle for funsies. I don't know. Sid just wanted
to be involved. Literally no reason for it.
Diesel gets a back suplex. Sean covers him after, though, because Diesel's still wiped from the sweet chin music.
Yeah.
Diesel always just selling sweet chin music like death.
You know what? I respect it.
I do. Diesel catches Sean coming off the ropes on the middle rope. Sidewalk slams him, catapults Sean into the exposed turnbuckle. Then we go right into the finish.
It's like one of the worst jackknife power bombs ever.
Yep.
Does it? And you just let. So Diesel's jackknife is not like any other power bombs because he doesn't really hold them up there.
It's one fluid motion.
Yeah, one fluid motion, immediate release. And the problem is, Sean fucking lands on his heels. Like, he doesn't land on his back. Like, he doesn't take a back bump.
Doesn't even land on his ass.
He lands on his fucking heels and then just rolls back. Like, my man took a tumble.
Yeah. Beginner gymnastics class is what's happening here.
And the Diesel just drops down. 1, 2, 3, pins him.
Diesel then celebrates with Pamela Anderson and Jenny McCarthy and Jonathan Taylor Thomas and Brucey from Longest Yard. What a party. What a group of hanging out people. What a cool, hoop.
They also, it's just the, like, if you saw that combination of people together, what is your first thought?
Like, are they the ages they are here? Or, like, today?
Well, it's got to be the ages they are there.
My assumption is that...
Well, I should do both.
my assumption is that there's, like, if it's then, is that, like, I've walked in some sort of, like, TV party. Because, like, obviously, Pam was Baywatch and John Taylor Thomas and Nicholas is on NYPD Blue. I'm like, okay, this is some sort of, like, TV show party that I missed or somehow. Also, like, who's supervising Jonathan Taylor Thomas? Like,
he's a child.
Why is our 52nd president not... Because he's got a president name. Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
Wait, yeah, I'm pretty sure he does crack now, so...
No, not JTT.
Well, listen, the first freaking picture I saw of him as an adult was him smoking a joint, so...
What are you, from the DARE program? You immediately are going right from... He smoked a joint, so clearly he's on crack.
It's not just that he was smoking a joint. He's smoking a joint, and his fucking hairline was back here. I'm sorry, weed ain't taking your hair away, brother. Crack him.
Let him... No, just... Life is. If I saw these people all today, I would assume I am on Cameo.
Who wants a cameo from Jenny McCarthy?
Some very weird people. She's also married to a Wahlberg.
Is it? It has to be Donnie.
It's Donnie.
Yeah, it's not Mark. It's got to be Donnie.
That's why I said a Wahlberg, not Mark Wahlberg. All right, we're going to take a break and discuss our favorite Wahlbergs. When we get back, Diesel going up against The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Back from the break, Diesel's WWF Championship reign continued until November 19th when he was defeated by whom? Who ended his reign?
Is it Brett?
It's Brett. Bret Hart, Survivor Series. Falling loss, Diesel attacked Hart. Diesel was in the last man to be eliminated from the Royal Rumble, being super kicked over the top rope by former best friend Shawn Michaels. Following the match, Diesel teased attacking Michaels, but then gave him a high five instead, turning kinda heel. He tweened for a little.
Wait, but Shawn was a babyface.
Diesel was a tweener at this point. That's kind of what they presented
it as.
I'm pretty
sure Shawn was a babyface by that point.
But Shawn also was like a tweener babyface. That, like, it was a weird. They're like ships.
Was the boyhood dream.
There's ships passing in the night. Apparently,
sure.
Diesel,
man,
went on to interfere in the main event at costing Undertaker a shot against Bret Hart. He then at In Your House 6, Diesel attempted to regain the WWF Championship from Hart in a steel cage match, but the Undertaker attacked him in retaliation. So we get this match at WrestleMania 12. It's Diesel versus the Undertaker. It is our recommendation for this week.
Yes, it is way better than it had any right being.
It's really good.
I was not expecting this.
It's really good. Diesel, better as a heel or a face for you?
I don't even know, man. Like, I think he's got, like, some good things about him as a babyface.
What about just Kevin Nash at large? If you had Kevin Nash come into your company, right? where would you want to slot him in, as a baby face or as a heel?
A backstage personnel.
I don't mean now, I mean like in his prime.
Probably as a heel, just because, yeah. I would want to see, because we'll get to it, but he just hits a lot of jackknifes and I like that.
That's
like
fair.
Babyface Diesel ain't hitting multiple jackknives, which is a problem. It's the whole reason Wardlow got super over. He just started hitting fucking power bombs to everybody.
And then he just stopped doing stuff and being on TV.
No, he just stopped showing up.
Yeah, he just stopped being on TV. Undertaker with Paul Bearer just feels right. Just feels right. It's the way he's meant to be presented.
This is before Paul the Bearer. Turn, right? Obviously, yeah, the Mankind feud comes later.
Yes. Diesel with an early elbow. Taker with a big clothesline. Misses the diving elbow. Diesel clotheslines him to the outside. Taker, of course, lands on his feet because he's a big fella. Lands a bunch of punches. God, Undertaker's punches are so fucking good.
Is he a big fella or a smart... Is he a smart fella or a fart smeller?
You really butchered that one.
I did.
You want a redo? You want to use my ending powers?
No. We got to leave that in there. The people need to know. The people need to know. I messed that up.
It's nice that when people know you're human. Right.
Yeah, I can't be perfect. You may think I am.
They're very wrong. Diesel returns favor. Diesel is then run into the steel steps. Early tombstone attempt. Like,
Yeah, I've never seen him really do that.
It's like a minute and a half in, and he's going for a tombstone. Diesel's like, Staker, what the fuck,
is like the most realistic of all wrestlers. Like, he knows I'm not hitting the big move early. Why would I do that?
Yeah, normally he's all about the strikes early, right? This time he's like, nah, it's time for a tombstone. I'm trying to go home.
He's like, I ain't an indie wrestler, brother. I'm not hitting the big stuff early.
That doesn't work for me, brother.
This is the main event.
Taker going up for old school. He connects, but Diesel stays on his feet. Taker tries a running clothesline. Diesel drops down to dodge. Really good dodge by Diesel.
Yes. Taker misses a chair shot because apparently he's allowed to do chair shots.
Taker gets like a free pass at WrestleMania. They're like, you can just do whatever you want. It's fine.
He gets whipped into the guardrail. Diesel drives Taker into the post back first, and then he does it again.
Is it wrong that I haven't been to a chiropractor in so long that when that happened, my first thought was like, that probably helped my spine.
I've never been to a chiropractor. I've always wanted to go, but I've never been.
Oh, it's the best. And listen, if you're listening, you're like, hey, chiropractor is like a pseudo thing. I'm like, I don't care. I feel better when all my bones go pop, 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 pop.
My girlfriend, her opinion is that chiropractors are assholes. So she doesn't, every chiropractor she's been through to has been like an asshole. So
where do you find out these mean chiropractors?
If any chiropractors are listening to this, slide into my DMs and let me,
and be nice.
Be nice.
If a chiropractor slid into your DMs and was just like, fuck you, that would be outstanding.
Just like, I'm going to crack your fucking back.
Yeah, I'll crack your back and your skull. It's like,
in a bad way.
What do they teach you at chiropractor college?
I'll fucking break a bottle over your head.
Diesel's looking for a count out, which is weird. He's just like, that's WrestleMania. It's just, you stay out there.
The streak's broken anyways, brother.
Taker tries to get in. Diesel just bumps him to the outside. And when Taker does come in, he gets a big boot from Diesel. A very good big boot. Obviously, we should talk about some moves that Kevin Nash as well. Sidewalk slam.
Big boot.
His jackknife can take it or leave it in terms of how
I love the jackknife, man.
Depends on who it gets hit on. Because we've seen some
The Bret Hart ones, I should say. Because he's had a few pay-per-view matches against Bret. They're always on point.
Yeah.
Always. True. He puts on a bear hug after the big boot. And Taker gets out of it eventually. He hits a flying clothesline for a near fall. And I was like, oh,
I didn't know you knew how to do that.
No, you knew that. Diesel hits a jackknife. He does not go for the pin. He is taunting like a motherfucker. He's taunting Taker, who just does his sit up. Diesel just grabs him, hits another jackknife, and he ain't done yet.
So here's the thing, though. I think the reason after the first jackknife that he didn't is because he knew Taker was going to sit up. So that's why he's just standing over him being like, come on, I know you're going to do this. Like, that's the way I watched it. I was like,
Kevin Owens shit.
Yeah, he's like, I fucking watched wrestling before. I know what you do. Like, stand, like, do the sit up thing so I can hit you again. Because then after the second jackknife, he drops down, Taker choke grabs him, Diesel frees himself. On the third time that happened, Taker gets to his feet. Diesel hits a back suplex to avoid the choke slam.
Yep. Taker, coming off of a whip to the ropes, does a leaping clothesline. He does end up hitting a choke slam.
He does.
Gets him. Tombstone. And you could tell it's a big man because of the way that Taker adjusts to Tombstone. It's kind of like side
tombstone. Yeah.
He does that only with the tall people.
Essentially, when his head isn't going to properly peer over their crotch if there he's in the middle.
Yeah, he's like, I'm a brother from Texas.
It's not going to work for me, brother.
It's junk being right there. That's not going to work for me.
In the easiest spoiler of all time, Undertaker wins at WrestleMania. Shocker.
Yes. This is my recommendation, 100%. Agreed. Thought this was an excellent match.
But we're about to get into a match that is about the moment. So.
Yeah.
What do we know about Kevin Nash? Well, we know that shortly after WrestleMania 12, his contract status was up in the air. And at the time, Eric Bischoff, who was WCW Executive Vice President, was offering a lot of money to WWF talent to get them to jump ship. And he had convinced a bunch of other people, including, of course, Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage, to go over. At the time, he was also in the process of talking to Scott Hall. Nash explained that Hall had been the first to sign with WCW and was offered a contract that paid him, quote, above Sting money. Because Sting was the kind of the measuring stick. Like, Hogan made more than Sting, Savage and Flair, But Sting was the contract that a lot of other contracts were kind of...
I wonder how much Sting made.
Well, Hall also informed Nash that he had been given, quote, most favored nation status, which means if someone new was hired for more money, Hall's contract would increase to match that contract. And Nash got the same type of deal with an average salary in 96 of $1.2 million.
Yo!
Get the bag. Nash said to Vince...
I want to know how much Hogan was making.
Nash said to Vince that he did not want to leave. And if Vince was willing to match the offer, he would stay. And Vince was like, I can't, because he'd have to do other offers similarly to other wrestlers in the promotion, Taker, Hart, things like that. And because of a bad financial status, because again, they're coming out of the steroid era.
They're coming out in 95.
Yeah, they just couldn't afford it. Because we didn't also talk about this. Diesel, the worst drawing WWF champion of all time. So I wonder why they were in a bad spot.
Yeah,
it was. It's not all Kevin Nash's fault. Like, it really isn't.
Yeah, he didn't have that. He didn't have really any.
He had
compelling
a fucking SummerSlam match against Mabel.
That's a highlight.
No, it's not. We love Mabel, but it's not a
highlight.
I liken it to when I was in university. Every year, all the residence buildings would have a road hockey competition, which this is the most Canadian thing you've ever heard.
So fuck, every road hockey,
it's hockey, but played on pavement instead of on.
You mean
on,
street hockey?
Whatever. Streets and roads are the same goddamn thing.
No, no. That's like saying a highway and a byway is the same thing. It ain't.
Enough with you. So we called it the Stanley Can, not the Stanley Cup. It's good. We're very funny. Anyways. The first 2 years, I won the title with my friends on the team, and my friends were all much better at hockey than me, and that was fine. And then I got to third year, and I was in a different building, and all my friends moved off campus, and they're like, you're the best player on the team. I'm like, that's not a good sign. I shouldn't be the best player on the team. Like, same way.
I'm like a gel guy at best.
Yeah, I'm a third line grinder. I should not be the best player on the team.
I don't know what that means.
It means essentially you're somebody who just checks other people and is not expected to score.
Ah,
me. So if Mabel is the guy that is showing up, Mabel shouldn't be the guy at the top having the SummerSlam main event. He should be the third line grinder.
That was like that was a long story to explain why Mabel should not have main event.
And that's because you interrupted my street road comparison. Anyways,
hey.
Of course, we also had the curtain call because he had a steel cage match at a house show against Michaels on May 19th. And then after the match, Diesel, Michaels, Razor Ramon, Hunter Hearst Helmsley came out and did their hug in the ring, and they wished each other well. And the only person who got punished from that was Triple H because he's the only one who could be.
And Stone Cold Steve Austin won King of the Ring. And because of that, Vince McMahon is a billionaire.
That's right. And he has a tiny little mustache. So after 2 weeks of Scott Hall returning on WCW programming and taunting announcers and wrestlers and everything, Nash also returned June 10th, 96. The duo were known as the Outsiders, of course, because they were invaders. WCW actually had to peel back on how much they said they were invading from another company because WWF was like, we will sue you. We will sue you. At Bash at the Beach, they fought a team of Lex Luger, Sting, and Randy Savage and promised to add one more man to the team. And the question was, who was the third man? We're at Bash at the Beach, 1996. It's Hall and Nash versus Savage, Sting, and Luger. God, Nash and Hall are so fucking cool.
Michael Buffer is like giving a eulogy before he actually does the ring announcements.
It's so long. He's like, I skipped it.
We're here, and this is for the fate of WCW to avoid all catastrophe.
Yeah, he's like an anime narrator that we don't need.
And I don't know why I just turned Michael Buffer into Bruce Buffer, but they're
brothers.
Well,
I mean, they're brothers.
Brothers, but
it's fine. I didn't realize, because I obviously know what this clip is about. I didn't realize Luger and Savage also had Sting face paint on.
I know. So that's team camaraderie right there.
It is. I was this is great.
Luger decks Nash and the babyfaces are just clearing house until Sting hits a Stinger splash in the corner on Nash, and somehow that knocks Luger out cold.
The match genuinely stops. A gurney comes out to take Luger. Like, what the fuck is happening?
Mans does a stretcher job because fucking Nash took a Stinger splash.
Yeah.
Why?
So that's like a 6-minute break. The actual match then continues with Sting and Savage versus Hall and Nash. during this.
Good match.
The match is fine. The quality's fine. Nash and Hall are really good. They're doing lots of like cheating, you know, abdominal stretch with Hall holding on to Nash for an extra advantage. Savage accidentally distracting the ref on a Sting roll up, so Hall gets free. Like, there's a lot of like cheap little heel things that they do.
Babyface is using speed. The heels are overpowering them because they're big boys.
Yep.
Scott Hall hits a fallaway slam. Heaven popped.
I did pop. You're right.
Sting collapses at one point here after the abdominal stretch spot when he clearly get a hot tag to Savage. Just as he's inches away from Savage, he just collapses under the weight of his exhaustion.
Just dies. When we do get the hot tag to Savage, it's axe handle to Hall, runs both outsiders into each other. Very good. Hall tossed over the top rope. Savage with an axe handle to him on the outside. Savage throwing axe handles like he's fucking Big Josh. It is nuts.
Well, he's going to make it comfortable for these two men.
There's they a know low all about blow, the axe handle. Low blow by Nash while the ref is with Hall. And then somebody comes out. Who comes out, Javier?
Is that Hogan?
It's Hulk Hogan. Hogan looks like he's protecting Randy Savage in the ring, and then drops the leg on Randy Savage. Hulk Hogan is the third man.
I knew he was going to do that. What do you mean you knew he was going to do that? I told you he was the third man.
All I wrote was, this was a big fucking deal. I think people know in that, like when you think about it in context, like, yes, obviously the NWO forming was a big deal. No, it was the biggest deal. Hogan turned heel.
It is arguably, not arguably, it is one of the three biggest moments in the history of pro wrestling. Just is.
Yeah. It's the biggest
like,
heel
Like, regardless of country, it is
it's the biggest heel turn in wrestling. It's the biggest heel turn in wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you could have another one. Like, what are you going to say? It's fucking Larry Zbysko? Like...
I go Austin in what was an ill-fated heel turn. You go Larry Legend. I love that.
Well, Larry Zbysko turning on Bruno was like a big deal.
It was a very big deal. Again, our context for that is a lot different because like it's so far removed from our fandom.
Yeah, I mean, neither of us were alive by like decades.
The ref gets tossed out by Hogan. He drops the leg. Hall counts the pin, so I guess they win technically. Weird.
I actually think this goes down as a DQ.
Yeah, double check and see.
in the annals of history. Mean Gene comes out, ask Hogan, what's he thinking? As in the background, Sting is dragging Savage out of the ring while fans fucking huck as much garbage as it can into the ring.
It is qualified as a no contest. Hogan tells the people to shut up when he's getting interviewed by Mean Gene.
Mean Gene talks shit. Hogan says that they are the future of wrestling, which is crazy.
Yep.
Because Hogan's like 42.
The new world order of wrestling. And talks about the organization up north. And who knows more about that organization up north than Hogan, brother? He made that organization a monster. He made the money. And I'm like, that's all
Billionaire
true.
Ted promised me movies. He promised me billion. He promised me millions. He promised me big matches. And he goes, he says he got bored. And so he joined up with the New Bloods.
What other movies did was Hogan in after he joined WCW?
I don't know, man. What fucking movies was Hulk Hogan in?
Dude, he was in Three Ninjas, High Noon at Mega Mountain. Great movie.
I have no idea.
Dude, Tum Tum Rocky? Great.
No idea.
He was in Muppets from Space.
Are these on your Letterboxd?
Yeah, my top four is all movies Hulk Hogan was. My top four is No Holds Barred, is Gremlins 2, The New Batch.
He's in Gremlins 2.
Santa with Muscles and Romeo and Juliet. Those are my top four on Letterboxd.
Wait, whoa. Are you saying Romeo and Juliet because it's a meme movie, or are you saying it because Hulk Hogan's in it?
Hulk Hogan's in it.
Hogan's in Romeo and Juliet?
He is Terra Firminator announcer, an unseen person who pronounces the Terra Firminator lawnmower. Yeah. It's
brother.
It's a lot, brother.
Kevin Nash is cool.
Kevin Nash is so cool.
That's all I got from that. I mean, he didn't start off cool. He started off as a jabron. But then he gets cool.
Very cool. It's essentially like, I was going to say it's what I was like through high school, because like I did end up cool at the end of high school, but like at the beginning of high school, I was not cool. I was
like the new guy.
I wasn't like Oz levels of uncool, but it was like Vinny Vegas levels of uncool. I didn't start at the Oz level. I started at the Vinny Vegas level.
I have no level. Everyone just kind of knew who I was, but I did not want to be like well known. So
leave me alone. I was like, don't look at me.
Peace.
Hogan also keeps calling the NWO the New World Organization, which is very funny.
New World Org?
He's like, New World Org, baby. Every person in this match would eventually be in the NWO. Every single person in this match would eventually be in the NWO.
Wow. I wish I could say that wasn't true, but even Sting joined the Wolfpack.
Even Sting joined the Wolfpack, so everybody's in the NWO. Back. That... Yes, you're right. The kitty cat knows it is time, because that is the end of this week's episode. Next week, we have even more Kevin Nash to cover. We're going to look at his run as part of the NWO. We're going to look at him coming back to WWE in 2002, 2003 as part of the NWO there. We're looking at him in TNA.
Are we looking at him have a match against CM Punk? Oh, wait.
LOL, I thought he was dead. No, none of that. What did you think going back and looking at the early career of Kevin Nash?
He's so cool.
Diesel slaps, man. Diesel's good.
He's just cool. Like, I don't know how to describe it to anyone other than he's fucking cool. If you haven't gone back and watched Kevin Nash in any capacity, and your opinions of Kevin Nash are literally just, hey, he was the NWO guy. He was big. He was kind of boring. And especially if you're like an indie guy who's watching TNA and you're like, fuck that guy. Because Mojo called him a piece of shit. or whatever the fuck, like that guy hates Samoa Joe, fuck him, you know, like, or you were like a Main Event Mafia guy and you didn't like that,
fair.
I can understand all of that. Kevin Nash is fucking cool. He's like, there's just cool. Like a cool factor to him that not many people in wrestling have.
Yep.
It's like right. Him, Swerve Strickland. That's and cool. Like, I don't know, man, he's just cool.
Yeah, he's just cool, dude. Cool. I would recommend everyone go back and watch some more Diesel stuff, because I think Diesel, knowing it's the thing that happens before the NWO, I think colors people's opinions of it. Like,
yeah.
It was really good at the time. Plus the lowest strong champion. Plus he was Sean's bodyguard. So people were like, oh, like he's Sean's bodyguard. Then he doesn't draw. Then he leaves. I'm like, there's more to it than that. Give Diesel an honest shake. That Royal Rumble match against Bret Hart was so good. It was one of the 15 matches we picked for Bret Hart. Think about that. Bret Hart has a lot of good matches, and Diesel was one of his 15 best that we picked.
Maybe not the best.
But it was really good. It's really up there.
It's up there. No, it's genuinely, his matches against Bret, all of them were excellent.
His matches with Sean are good.
Sean was good. It just, you just kind of have to keep that jackknife out of your mind when you watch it.
And the match with Taker, really excellent. Good.
My recommendation.
Really well done. Yeah. I'm really excited for next week, because we get to talk about the finger poke of doom. We get to talk about ending Goldberg's world title run. We get to talk about Samoa Joe. We get a lot of that content next week with Kevin Nash. You should follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Crossbody of Work and get all of our good content there. Keep up to date with what we're doing. Tell us in our DMs who we should cover next for the pod as we go into the new year. We have some content coming up going into the new year. We have Japanuary coming up, where we're going to cover all Japanese wrestlers through January. Plus, we have episode 200 coming up. Tell us what you want us to do for 200 episodes of the podcast. If you send some things in, maybe we'll read them on the air during that.
Yeah. I mean, we will.
We will. We'll definitely do it. So, you know, tell us in the comments. Subscribe to us on YouTube at Crossbody of Work. All the good content lives there as well. Follow Javier wherever he tells you right now.
God damn it.
Need the sign.
About the sign again. It's at J Mello Sports on the Twitter machine. Love the boy a follow.
Follow me on Twitter as well, at @itsevengomes, @itsevengomes. FullPressWrestling.com for the links to all the matches this week and all the matches we cover every week. Plus Full Press Wrestling for all your other wrestling needs. Lots of good articles there. Go check all those out. FullPressShop.com, cop the merch, support the boys. Hopefully some new merch coming in the near future as well, so you can get all decked out after the holidays with all that money you get for all of your different holiday celebrations, and wear it to WrestleMania, where you'll hang out with us, because we'll be in Philly, baby. I thought you were about to do another Diesel honk honk, and I was ready for it.
I was about to, but then I was like, wait, no, that's not a moment for it.
That's not the time for the Diesel honk honk. But what is time for is Javier's life advice. You got any final words for the people this week? Or do you need a moment to regroup?
This week on Life Advice with Javier. Listen, man, some of y'all motherfuckers live where it's warm in the world, and I
not us.
Both envy you a little bit, tiny, tiny bit of me envies you. But also, like, I don't envy you because most of the time that sucks. But recently, it's gotten brick over here. So this is my obligatory, you know, start of the winter, realistically winter. Make sure you guys keep yourselves warm, bundle up. Layers are important. Make sure you protect your hands, face, all that jazz. You don't want to get the sniffles. Make sure your apartment slash houses slash wherever the hell you live stays up to a certain temperature. I think it's 63 degrees it has to stay at night.
To not freeze the pipes?
67 or something like that during the day. Yes, to not freeze the pipes. Freezing pipes suck, and they take forever to fix. So you don't want that to happen. Make sure, again, keep warm. I think hand warmers are a real, like, fun thing. I use them quite often. I don't like gloves. But hand warmers are great. Great option for those of you who are like me and don't like wearing gloves. Most important thing that I can recommend to anyone, if you have the facilities to do so and your car doesn't have one, get a fucking remote starter.
Oh.
Get a remote starter. It will change your life.
It's a good call.
I upgraded my car and I was able to freaking start my car from my phone, my life was never the same. Like, it beats going out to my old Honda Civic and just sitting there freezing my ass off for like 10, 15 minutes in fucking sub 20 degree Fahrenheit weather, just dying. My car gets to the fucking little part on the goddamn meter where it's like, oh, it's warm enough now.
It's not fun to have to do the wait. If you can too. People don't do this. Invest in really good gloves. People cheap out on the gloves because people are like, oh, I lose the gloves or do it. Get good gloves. Like,
I got some from Costco that I'm happy with.
There you go. You got to find the brand you're happy with. Honestly, buy two pairs. If you like them that much, buy another pair. You're going to
lose.
Hand warmers,
though. For real, though.
Yeah. Keep warm.
If you're just walking about, nice. Put just get two of them, put them right in your pocket.
You're all set.
Chilling.
Same way we're all set. After covering Kevin Nash this week, we're back next week with more Kevin Nash. We'll talk to you then.